time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Hey, Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro. How's it going? Second week of December. We got plenty of shows this month. I know the year is coming to a close, but we're heating up here, baby. We're heating up. The Valley is just red hot in the month of December, and that's pretty much due almost entirely to the fact that the Commonwealth Motors Christmas Classic happens later this month, and that is exciting, man. Not only are they playing the games, boys and girls at Merrimack College that feature the best of the best in teams in the area from the Merrimack Valley and North Shore, they also are doing their first Hall of Fame class from this awesome tournament. So what history. Of course, we'll have the director of the show on later in the month as we get closer to generate some steam for that, because it's a heck of a take. It's like the tournament before the tournament, really. You know, it's just incredible. It's a great way to kick off or end, really, the year. It happens every year, and it's amazing. It goes to great causes and great foundations and stuff. So this is amazing stuff. I can't wait for it. What a take it is. For now, we're going to have Tom King, Nashua Telegraph, on the show. Give us our little recap of New Hampshire sports. What's happened in the fall, a little winter preview. My boy Tommy always comes on after the season to give us the big snapshot in New Hampshire. So everyone's up to speed on what's going on in the Granite State. You're going to get that after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro back at it here with our, I always forget, I think it's four times a year we have this dude on, Tom, and this is the final time of the year, Tom King, Nashua Telegraph. What's going on, Tom?
The final time of 2024, huh? Wow, hard to believe.
We made it. And you know what's funny? I'm sure you're thinking of year in review content. And I think I got burned a few times, Tom, when I was doing year in reviews for the daily newspaper, where I would run that in, like, you know, Christmas week, and all of a sudden someone scores 5 goals, breaks a record on the Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year's. That should have been in the top highlights.
That's the thing. Now, see, what I do, Dom, is I do a top 10 stories of the year.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, the way it falls is I'm going to have it come out in print probably, you know, that weekend right after Christmas. Christmas is on a Wednesday. New Year's is on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's got to come out that weekend. And it's all got to be written basically before Christmas.
You has to, yeah. And you,
so, you know, because of the deadlines. So, you know, it's 2 weeks to go in the year. Something always happens.
Yeah, someone will score 85 points in a game, and, you know.
Oh, there'll be some kind of, you know, or a major coach will resign, or you know, it just, you know, you, it's just, it never fails, but there's nothing you can do about it. So yeah. I'll have to, you know, it's funny. You talk about that. I was, you know, going over the top 10, you know, my thoughts on top 10 for the year already, just a preliminary list. I probably should have started thinking about it a long time ago. But the thing is when you do those stories, the things that you think in March or April are definitely top 10 stories fade away because there's something else that happened that maybe trumps it.
Yeah, recency bias. You have recency bias too.
Yes, exactly. You do. Yeah. Recency bias is definite. And of course, as we talk about it this fall, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, let's get biased with the recent stuff, and that's the fall. And
it was very busy.
How about you start with the state title winners in your area?
Well, I mean, it in this area we had two soccer winners on the same night, and two football winners on the same day, and that was the highlight, you know. And none of them were in the city of Nashville; they're all on the outskirts. The team of the year, I thought. The two teams of the year, Campbell football, which dominated Division III, Scott Hershberger became the career leader in the state record career leader with over 6,000 rushing yards.
Yeah,
for his career, so he broke the state mark that was set by another area kid almost, you know, 20 years ago named Sean Jellison of Sauhegan. Campbell went 11-0, won the state title in Division III. He thought they would walk through it. You know, just basically walk over everybody. And they did.
Yeah. 48-7 final.
Yeah. I was there and it was, you know, it was just
ugly.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're playing a team, Interlakes Moultonboro, a co-op team from up north that relied on the pass. And I don't know if you remember that Saturday before Thanksgiving, but the wind was so strong. I thought Dorothy and Toto were going to fly over the stadium. So that took away their ability to really throw the ball, and that made the game, you know, that much more one-sided.
Yeah.
So that was a, you know, big deal. And Scott Hershberger is the Joe Ukeka Player of the Year. That foundation awards the Player of the Year every year. He was voted. We all voted on it. Media in the state and coaches. Scott Hershberger, the running back, who's also a pretty good defensive player as well. Got the nod. The thing about that story about that team, Dom, is twin brothers, Scott and Nick. And Nick is probably the best defensive player in the division.
Yeah.
And was in the offensive backfield, often blocked for his brother, but also in that championship game, he scored four touchdowns. So he kind of almost, he had 100 yards, scored four TDs, while his brother had 148 yards and scored two TDs. So they were a great combination. Their father is Andy Hershberger. He's fairly well known in media circles. He was a former Channel 9 reporter. And
oh, nice.
Yep. So and I have a picture of him that I ran online of him in the stands, standing up with his arms raised. You know, when
that's sweet.
You know, when the championship was decided. So it was pretty good. So on that same day, the team that I had no idea would win in Division II until the playoffs came, Sauhegan High School. You know the dominance that Pelham has had over the years. They lost a game this year to Trinity, but they thumped Trinity in the semifinals. Sauhegan, going into the season, lost probably the best quarterback they've ever had in Romy Jane, who went to prep school after his junior year. And also the best running back and player of the year in the state from last year, J.J. Bright, who graduated and is now at Phillips Exeter. And I believe he's going to go to Bryant. I'm not positive on that, but I believe he's headed to college after this year. Nice. And so they lose those two kids. And you're thinking, you know, and they had a nucleus of you know, teams that were, yeah, they had been to the finals 2 years ago. They were in the semis last year and were upset by Plymouth. Well, they went up to Plymouth this year and knocked off Plymouth 36-7 the first loss that Plymouth had had since the late 90s at home in a playoff game.
Jeez, that's convincing too.
And yeah, exactly. And you know, they had rolled over some of the D2 teams all year long until they met Plymouth and Pelham back to back at home and lost them both. So you're thinking, okay, you know, it's not going to really be there for them. They'll be competitive in the playoffs and we'll see what happens. Well, they easily win a quarterfinal game over John Stark, and then they go up to Plymouth and thump them. So you're thinking, you know, they're going to give Pelham a run for their money. And sure enough, they did, and they won the game 14-6. Their defense really took control. So you're talking about a defense that, for Souhegan, you know, when you graduate kids, you got to form a new system, you know, sometimes, or a new idea. They had a quarterback, Michael Fiengo, who could roll out and throw, the other kid was a dropback quarterback that went to prep school. Fiengo is a different style of quarterback, and they changed their style, the coaches did, to fit him.
Yeah.
And it worked. But defensively in the playoffs, they give up 6 points to John Stark, but that was on a scoop and score, so their defense didn't give up anything. So they really allowed only 13 points in the playoffs in three games defensively. That's how you win.
I think Pelham had 11, right? 14-11. That's what the site says anyway. The
New yes. Site. Yep. Yeah. So it was just
incredible.
Oh, that's no, not in the final. It was 14-6.
Oh, they screwed up then on the NHIA website.
Maybe they did. Yeah, maybe they did close to 14-11. I'm not sure. I got to remember that.
Bottom line, that's only like two touchdowns overall that the defense gave up in three tournament games.
Yeah. You know, so still it's a great defensive job by them. Yeah, I think you're right. It was 14-11. So, but still, just a great job by Souhegan and Coach Robin Bouquet. So those two titles in soccer, the Hollis Brookline girls in Division II, dominant. Hollis Brookline is just up the road from Nashua. It's just about, you know, 4 miles away from Nashua. It's a prominent suburb. And, you know, if you want to, it's known for, if you want to go, you know, get corn and your fruits and vegetables, you go to Hollis, right? So, but they have a good athletic school that wins championships constantly. And they do it. And they 2 years in a row, 19-0, they've won 38 straight games.
Oof.
You know, and with, you know, this is a program that had lost in the semis two straight years in 21 and 22. And still, after those losses, which were tough, you talk to Peter Clark, their coach, and he always felt, look, we're on the verge here of doing something. We don't think this is going to happen again. We're going to come back. And last year they came back, and sure enough, they won close. They won close games. They won a semifinal in penalty kicks against Bow last year. They won a final down 1-0. They rallied to win 2-1. So this year, much different. Dominated all the way through. No one was close to them, except in the final when they played Bow again.
Yeah.
And this time Bow basically packed it in and played defense and lost a 1-0 game, but Hollis Brookline won 1-0.
Yeah.
They got a goal midway through the first half, and that was it. So Bow just didn't have enough offensive chances. It was a 1-0 game that you kind of felt was more like 3-0. So
yeah, Bow credit, you know, it's five. They scored 10 goals in the tournament heading into that one.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a real dominant performance. McKenna McGuire, great scorer, 100 goal scorer for her career, over 100 goals. They'll have to, you know, it'll be different next year without her, because she was, you know, basically their go-to player. And the thing is even if she didn't score, she facilitated, she passed it off, and she drew the defensive attention that someone else was always open.
Yeah.
So, great team. Now, that's for girls. The other story in girls soccer was Nashua North. Probably the best story of the year in girls soccer, because they were an underdog team. And they won eight games. They were, I think, 8-5-1. I'm not sure. Somewhere around there during the season. And what they did was they lost a tough penalty kick game against Concord a year ago in the first round of the tournament. This year, they won in the first round, and they beat Nashua. They beat their rival, Nashua South, in overtime.
Yeah.
It was a great draw. They drew Nashua South, the winner, to play Bishop Girton, the top seed.
And they beat them off. Yeah.
Yes, they beat South. They beat South 1-0 in overtime. So that game went OT. It was, you know, a real tight game. Or 2-1. I think it was 2-1. I'm sorry. And then they go play Bishop Girton. And they play that game at Riviera University. And it was packed. There were a lot of people there. It was Friday afternoon, nice day, beautiful day, Friday, November. I think it was the 1st of November, and great way to start the month, because what they did was Girton scores with about 11 minutes to go, and you're thinking, that's it. But, you know, North had, you know, these two girls who were twins who were very, very good, and you just kind of had the feeling that, well, you know, Girton, you know, they gave it a good effort. We'll see what happens. Well, wouldn't you know it, one of them scores she runs into a wall of Girton kids not in the penalty area, but about 30 yards outside. And the call went North's way, so she got a free kick.
Wow.
And she just aimed it at the goal mouth and buried it. You know, from 30 yards out, she had a great foot. And that gives North ties the game, and I said to myself, and I had to do the game on national ETV. I was broadcasting it, and I said to myself, if Girton, I didn't say this on the air, I don't think, but I said, if Girton doesn't win it in overtime, they're not going to win it in penalty kicks, because those North kids don't miss in PKs. And sure enough, North comes away and wins in penalty kicks.
Yeah,
and but then they ran into a hot Winnicott team in the semis in Manchester, right near your backyard at Manchester Memorial on election night. And they lost 3-0, and that was it for the North. But still, the farthest North had ever gone, and it was a great story. And they'll probably have a lot of attention on them coming up in next year. So the same night that Hollis won in soccer, in the girls, the next game after that was Milford against Campbell, two local teams that we've covered, right? And boys, featuring, you know, a couple of really good scores, and it for both teams, and it was back and forth, 5-4 game, 5-4 game, and Milford wins it with about 3 minutes left on a free kick into the box. That was deflected in for a goal, and that did it. And it's the first soccer championship. Milford's a school; it's been around a long time. First boys soccer championship ever.
Whoa!
Yep. And you know, I said to the coach, I said, "What? You know, Anson Thibault is the coach." And I said to him, I said, "What about, you know, how does it feel to win the first title?" And he said to me, he said, "You know what? I walked in the gym before the bus left, because the games were played at Exeter." And he said, "I looked up at the banners." He said, "I didn't see a soccer banner there." And I said, "We're going to put one up there." And sure enough, that's what happened, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good stuff
for them. That's incredible for them.
Yeah.
I know the football team was making history on the wrong side of things, though, because I went to that game we covered for National Telegraph. And
yes, Tom, you were part of my fall. How about that?
The first time West ever beat them, I think.
Yes, yeah, it was. Yeah, West had a good year.
You know, West West has the best football announcer. I love that guy. I don't know if you've been to a West game anytime recently.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah, I like that guy. He's informative. He gave that stat.
Oh, that must be Gary. I forget his last name. I think his first name is Gary. Yes. He's done stuff in Manchester for years.
Yeah.
Very good. He knows all the history.
Yeah.
All the history.
He was telling, he was engaging the fans and the history stuff. That's how I got my little nugget for the story.
There you go. Yes, I know, Dom. I know. I was wondering where you were picking this stuff out and reaching up in the air and grabbing this stuff. So not bad at all. So that was, Milford struggled in football. They won two or three. They won two games. One win or two. I'm not sure. First year head coach. They'll try to replan it. You know, they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
They're rebuilding. So we'll see how that all goes. The other surprise story, not so much a surprise because I kind of expected them to be improved, is Nashville South football. Mm. And of course, you covered the other great story, Alvern football. There was no way I thought that Alvern was going to be as good this year.
Well, look at the game they gave Bedford. I mean, you know,
that was it. They took a 14-0 lead on Bedford in the quarterfinals and eventually, you know, gave up 24 points, but Bedford ended up losing to Pinkerton, in the semis. But the job that Matt Lee did with Alvern, that he's done with Alvern, because it's a 2-year deal right now, the way they've played. He took a program that, by all intents and purposes, didn't belong in Division I. And they were in shambles and it needed new blood. And he came in and boy, did he give them an injection. I mean, he really did. And he told them 2 years ago, or, you know, a year and a half ago during the preseason, look, people are going to tell you, you're not going to be able to make the playoffs. If you believe it, then, you know, then we don't have a chance.
Yeah.
He said, so what you got to do is, you set that as your goal and you work towards it and you believe that you can do it, you know, and that's what he told them. He said, they're the ones who are telling you can't do it. You're not saying that. So you gotta work towards it. And it, you know, whatever he said to them worked. I think he had a good, you saw them. They had a good group of athletes, right? And, you know, and the running back Landmesser, Mike Landmesser, I don't know where, you know, I don't think anybody was really looking at him as being as good a back as he was.
He's back.
Yeah. He's got another year. He's back there, but they do lose some players like Rochelot and some of the other key guys, the quarterback too, who Lee loved, but still they made history. They won their first ever Division I playoff game.
Yeah.
Or win. You know, it wasn't their first D1 playoff game, but it was their first D1 playoff win. So, you know, and they almost won two of them.
Yeah. They made the fall really fun, you know, covering them. They were a fun story. They were an underdog, and then they became not an underdog so much anymore because they were legit threat to win every game. And that's evidenced by the Bedford performance. And, you know, they had a multi-dimensional threat. They had good, you know, I think Matt Lee summed it up pretty well. He said, you know what we got? And you kind of mentioned this too. Like, we got solid high school football players. Like, these are kids that are committed. They get the most out of themselves, even if they don't have that size.
Right.
And that's Landmesser for you. The kid's like 5'7", 5'6".
Yeah.
He's like Barry Sanders-ish, right?
Right. That's the way J.J. Bright was for Souhegan last year. He was, you know, he was about 5'7", 5'8", and just, you know, they just make the most out of it. So I think the key for Alvern is for the future for them, is to have that success breed more success.
Yep.
And that's going to be Lee's job to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Because now is when it starts to build towards next year. Those kids have got to get in the weight room. They've got to stay big. They've got to get strong. And that's the off season is where Alvern can do its damage. And I think that's where it's been done the last year.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to continue and that'll be up to Lee to do that. Look, this is a guy who's who was a defensive coordinator for like 9 years straight down at Crater Lowell and liked being a defensive coordinator. But then, you know, he's in his 30s. He goes, you know, maybe I'd like to try to jump into the head coaching world. And look what he's done with it. Hopefully, you know, he'll continue to do it there at Alvern, because they look, high school, you know, graduation is a 4-letter word for high school coaches, right? So it all depends on what you've got and everything else. But if you can keep that pipeline going,
yeah,
you know, then you're into something. Now, see, the irony is, I talked about Campbell. Campbell is in Litchfield. They used to send their kids to Alvern before they built their own school.
Yeah.
So they would have had a, you know, there's some years where they would have had powerhouses at Alvern if they had the Campbell kids as well as the Alvern kids.
Yeah.
But you don't have that. You know, you have the split like you have in Nashua. And that takes me to Nashua South. A bunch of young players that were getting killed last year. They finished 2-8, 2-7, 2-8. But everybody back, they lost. They had one senior who played a year ago. So everybody was coming back. So you knew that they had to make that next step. It was almost, it's too logical for them not to.
Yeah.
And so they did, and they were unbeaten, you know, 2/3 of the way through. And then they ran into Bedford, and Bedford beat them pretty handily. And then they got knocked off by Goffstown, which upset the apple cart for the seedings, because I think they would have been the team that would have played Bedford rather than Alvern, the way the seedings were going to fall. But it didn't work out that way. So they, the one thing with Nash was South, and they ended up losing to Londonderry in the quarterfinals at Londonderry.
Yeah.
They deserved a better fate with the year they had. But the one thing that everybody realized as the season went on late, South had problems stopping the run. And so teams gave them a steady diet of the ground game.
Yeah.
And that's something that they'll need to work on next year, because they lost only another handful of seniors that were keys. They didn't lose much. So they'll be good next year in football. It's just a matter of
59 burger. They put up a 59 burger against Girton in the first round.
Oh yeah. You were at that game, right? No, you weren't. That's right. No, you were at Alvern. That's right.
Alvern,
you were at
Alvern. Yeah, first round.
Right.
Alvern.
Right. That was the night of the soccer. I had to get someone else traded with, I got to thank, while I have you here, is you, obviously, but also NewHampshireHighSchoolSports.com. We traded stories, and that really helped me out a lot.
Dude,
because that soccer night, I couldn't be there for Nashua South BG, which is tough because it's an all-city game. But, yeah, that was the thing. It'll be interesting to see how BG recovers next year. I think their line is back. It was a young line. I think that, you know, they'll try to build on that. BG had problems defensively. I think that was their biggest problem on defense. But South, again, couldn't stop the run. They'll try to fix that. I think they'll be a Final Four team next year.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, I've been lucky since they changed the football format a couple of years ago. The Division I, in the way the calendar falls, the Division I championship game is on its own. It's the only championship game of that day for football. And that it's the only championship. It's the last event of the whole fall season. And it's on Thanksgiving weekend, which I just hate having to work on Thanksgiving weekend. I think my luck may run out next year, because I think Nashua South has a really good chance of being in that championship game next year. But that's just me. That's just me thinking out loud right now.
We'll hold you down to that.
Yeah.
Did you have one other state titleist? Was there field hockey?
Yeah, Hollis Brookline field hockey. First field hockey title ever in the school's history.
Two ladies championships for Hollis Brookline. That's amazing. That's great.
Well, they average two a season.
Two a season.
You know? Yeah. I mean, in the spring one, and they win them on the same days sometimes, you know? So it's this championship alley over there. They really turn out the hardware.
Yeah.
They really had a great season, a bunch of seniors who really played well, and they were, you know, they only lost one game all year, and that was to Bo. And then they played, I believe it was Stark. Was it John Stark in the finals? And Stark had been a dynasty, but they had lost some players and also lost their coach. Mm. So it was a little bit of a different Stark team in the finals. And Hollis Brookline won it. You know, it was 2-0, but 2-0 in field hockey is almost like 5-0. Right. So, yeah. But I'll tell you what, Dom, that championship game was played at Bedford on a Saturday night. And it was probably, it was the coldest I'd been outside in a while. And I was dressed for it. It was a cold night and it was still in October. No, I'm sorry. It was November 2nd.
Yeah.
So it was November, but it was a sign of things to come because it was a cold night. You know, it's funny. These kids start the season in shorts and warm weather and everything else. And you're worried about water breaks and the whole bit. Then you get all of a sudden, you know, you get 8 weeks in and it's frigid time. So, yeah. So Hollis Brookline was
look at Bo having a lot of trouble against Hollis Brookline this year. Girls,
you know, yes,
he loses to him in the semis and the finals. Yep. Soccer.
Yeah, the whole bit. Yeah. So there's one other team that kind of gets lost in the championship shuffle is Bishop Gurdon Boys Cross Country.
Ah,
and they finished with the Division One. They won the Division One championship meet, and then the top teams from and runners from that meet go on to what is called the Meet of Champions the next week. That's usually more of an individual event, but in cross country, they award a state title, an overall state title. So you get the best of all the divisions, and Gurdon won that one as well. They have a great runner named Matt Giardina, who is just a fabulous distance runner. And you know, he lost the Division One race to, another runner from Keene. Mm-hmm. And then he beat him the following week in the Meet of Champions to win that overall title. But also, you know, and then the Keene kid beat him in the New England's. So it was back and back forth, and you know, yeah. Back and forth. But Gurdon takes the hardware. I don't think they award a trophy for the Meet of Champions, but they keep track of it. So they win the overall state boys cross country title. Yeah. That was pretty big. Yeah, that was big. So, you know, that's how it was a busy fall. A lot of championships.
Yeah, they got you out of your seat for the tournament. That's for sure. The teams.
One other thing, volleyball. Bedford wins their fifth straight title in girls volleyball. But I'll tell you what, they almost didn't do it. Why? Bishop Gurdon almost knocked them off in the semifinals.
Mm.
Took the first set, lost the next two, then thumped Bedford in the fourth set, 25-14. You never saw that. And then lost. They were up 5-2 in the decisive fifth set.
Wow.
And then fell. Bedford woke up and ended up winning that one. The fifth set, I believe, 15-11, and yeah. Win the 3-2 in the semis. Then they went on to win in the finals. They beat Pinkerton Academy in the finals. Milford girls in volleyball did make it to the finals, and they ended up losing to unbeaten Summersworth in Division II. So You see what a busy fall? I mean, it was. It was unbelievable. So we'll see how we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. All right, Tom. I'm giving you 2 minutes to give me a quick winter preview. What do you got?
I'll tell you what, keep an eye on the National High School South boys. They've got the, you know, their all-time leading scorer, Josh Caruso, who's a senior now. He's one of the best shooters you've ever seen. And if they can put enough around him, he loses his backcourt mate who graduated. But if they can fill that in and put enough around him and get some size, they have a shot at being a team that can do something in the tournament. They made it to the semis 2 years ago. And then last year, Pinkerton Academy had that big kid, Jackson Marshall, who was the MVP and beat North in the finals. You know, he's graduated. So some of the contenders have lost the players, but South's got the main kid Caruso back. And I'm looking, you know, they're a team that a lot of people are thinking is going to be good. Mm. So that's one team. It's going to be interesting. I don't really know what to think in hockey. I think Bishop Gritton will be strong in hockey. You know, we don't have that obvious big dominant favorite in my area anyway. So it'll be interesting. Division two, watch out for this. Merrimack, Hollis, Brookline, and Derryfield co-opt in hockey the last 10 years. Hmm. Well, they didn't have enough players even with the co-op. Wow. So they merged with Merrimack in Division Two to form a tri-op. You take the best kids from those three schools.
Yeah.
Merrimack could do something in Division Two.
Yeah.
In high school hockey. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
We'll find all about it in 3 months. Be back on Nicastro will be out there the tournament season for you. You're a little soldier, so I'm looking forward.
Dominator will be working. Yeah.
Tom King, National Telegraph, thank you for once again. Have a good rest of the holiday season, my buddy.
You too. Happy holidays, Dom, and thanks again.
Thanks for the report. We'll talk soon, bud.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. Thank you to Tom King. Lots of fun with him. I enjoyed going out to high school football games in the fall, talking to Goffstown. I mean, coaches, Merrimack coaches, Manchester Central, Alvern, Salem High, I saw. You know, I saw a lot of great teams. Concord, you know, the football was pretty solid. And I had a blast. So thanks for that opportunity, Tom King, in the National Telegraph. But what else is going on? I mean, we get the winter season here. Of course, the Valley is just incredible basketball. Lawrence has been tremendous the last couple of years. They'll have a new coach this year, so we'll see how that goes down. You know, Andover girls is always in the mix. Won the state title 2 years ago. See if they can get back in the mix for that. Central girls, always awesome and solid. You know, hockey is not the greatest Valley sport, but there's some girls teams that I think you can watch. Some of the boys teams really haven't cracked that top echelon in the Division One area, but of course Tewksbury has in Division Two. They've been tremendous, so we'll watch for the Redmen this year, see what they can do. But yeah, that's about it for the Merrimack Valley for this second week in December. We thank you for tuning in. Thanks to our guest Tom King, giving us the full scope of what's going on in the Granite State. We will be with you all winter, keeping you warm with the hottest Merrimack Valley sports news. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a good one.
Merry Christmas, everyone.